How much U.S. aid does Pakistan need, and in what form should that aid come?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now to the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. The United States has given Pakistan roughly $18 billion in aid since 2002. Most of that's been spent on helping the Pakistanis with counterterrorism and development. But since Osama bin Laden's death, American lawmakers have been questioning whether the financial assistance should continue. The BBC's Leslie Kerwin reports.
The chill in political relations between the U.S. and Pakistan is worrying the Pakistani business community, even though U.S. financial aid contributes very little to Pakistan's GDP. Kamran Misra is the chief executive of the Pakistan Business Council. He says right now the impact for businesses is mostly psychological.
You know, U.S. is the world's only superpower. We've always had good relations with them. There's a lot of history to it. There is a general discomfort about the strained relation, and businesses also feeling that strain.
Misra says there was a similar situation after 9/11, but that eventually the economy rebounded. For many Western companies, though, doing business in Pakistan is still high risk because of the security threat. But Misra says these problems are minor compared to infrastructure issues, especially insufficient power. He says U.S. aid would be better spent on developing the Pakistani economy by investing in the private sector, rather than giving money directly to the government. In London, I'm the BBC's Leslie Kerwin for Marketplace.
There are more protests and strikes on the streets of Athens today. Demonstrators are upset over the possibility that country will privatize many national interests. It's been a year since Greece took a $150 billion bailout from its European neighbors, but even today, the country faces a grim economy. Joanna Kakissis is with us now from central Athens, where the protests are taking place. Good morning, Joanna.
Good morning, Steve.
Why is Greece still struggling? I mean, we're talking a year after the bailout, right?
Yeah, well, the country was more than $400 billion in debt, and it had a lot of work to do. The government drastically cut spending and public sector wages and pensions and even raised taxes. It made good progress, cutting the deficit by 5%, but the cuts stalled the economy. Unemployment is at a high of 15%, and Greeks are anxious.
They're anxious. What would privatizing state-owned businesses do, Joanna?
Well, it would raise a lot of cash, about $72 billion, by 2015. The government wants to sell its stakes in three utilities, plus the Greek railway, the racetrack, and the national lottery. It also wants to lease or sell unused facilities from the 2004 Olympics and the old airport. But unions are fighting it. They say the privatization would kill jobs. A few thousand demonstrators are expected today, and their aim is to put pressure on the government ahead of an expected vote next week on the asset sale.
Do most Greeks feel the same way as the demonstrators in the streets now?
Well, actually, no, they don't. Most are actually very worried about the economy collapsing, and so they want to see the austerity measures bearing fruit.
All right, Joanna Kakissis reporting from Athens. Joanna, thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
Let's do the numbers. Global markets are mostly higher at the moment. Toyota said today it made less money in the last 3 months because of the earthquake, which caused production problems and, of course, those recall issues. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow gained 75 points to close at 12,760.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896. AllianzUSA.com. And by Manta, connecting millions of small business owners and new customers every day on the web at manta.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Comer Science and Education Foundation, dedicated to supporting innovative programs making a positive impact on the lives of individuals and communities.
Alabama's Governor Robert Bentley now says insured losses from the deadly tornadoes last month will top $2 billion. Thousands of homes were damaged or destroyed by the storms, and some say that could actually help Alabama's slumping housing market. Larry Cowart is a real estate expert and professor of accounting and finance at the University of Alabama at Birmingham, and he's with us now. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you today?
Doing well. We're obviously not trying to find any kind of bright side to the devastation in Alabama. I saw it certainly firsthand in Tuscaloosa. But people are going to need housing, right?
There's over 5,000 houses destroyed in two counties, plus there's another 1,000 distributed over a much wider area. Here in Birmingham, there's sufficient supply to take care of all the people who were displaced.
What does this mean for the housing situation in Alabama?
Well, in Birmingham, there's about 10 to 12,000 houses on the market for sale right now. And at the current rate of sale, based on last month's sales, it would take 12 months for every one of those houses to be sold. Of course, now we're going to get to the bottom of the market a lot quicker than in other places. So for us, this will kind of start the absorption to get us back to a normal market.
Thousands of people, as you said, lost everything in those storms. Where's the money going to come from, Larry, to buy up these properties all over the state?
In the short run, there's going to be an inflow of cash to cover the insurance cost for those people who had insurance. The federal government, the state government, there's a lot of donations that are bringing things into the Birmingham area to try to help everybody out. The cost of this is going to be significant. The estimates right now are, you know, $2 to $5 billion and going up every day. The long-term damage is going to be pretty significant.
Well, our thoughts, of course, are with the folks in Alabama and all throughout the South as they try and recover from these horrible storms. Larry Cowart, professor of real estate and finance at UAB, thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome. Nice talking to you.
And finally, the cardigan sweater worn prominently by Jeff Bridges in the movie The Big Lebowski is up for auction this weekend in Beverly Hills. The opening bid for the dude's beige, orange, and brown zip-up should be around $5,000, but it's likely going to fetch a lot more. What's not up for bid is the rug that really tied the room together. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Business news. It's not all banks, budgets, and bottom lines, you know. At Marketplace, we think it can be lots of things, like...
So maybe you've heard of the Kardashians.
iPhone and iPad app.
Christian Dior.
Wine.
We Fit.
Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
The NFL.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Whether you need news or the numbers or just a good laugh, join us next time for Marketplace, the business show for the rest of us. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like...
What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.